This is part three of our tefillah shiur. Let's see what we can cover in the time that we have. What I'd like to do before we begin the tefillah of the bracha of Elokai, and I'm going to call it Elokai Neshama, just because colloquially we refer to it as that bracha. However, if you notice from my title, there's a comma afterwards, because it's not Elokai Neshama, it's Elokai. Right, my God. Nishama shanasata b'torah. So, nonetheless, Elokai doesn't really tell you anything about it. So before I do that, I'd like to finish a little bit about Asher Yatzar. And even if you were not here, you could, first of all, listen. The other shiur was recorded. But even if you were not here, there's a piece of Asher Yatzar that I'd like to finish with in order really to bring us into the Elokai Nishama bracha itself. And I'm going to raise some of the questions. There's nothing on your sheet about Asher Yatzar per se, but I'm going to raise the questions we raised last week just so that I can give you a different approach as to what Asher Yatzar is. And I'm going to read a little bit off an article that was written by Rav Ezra Bick from Yeshivat Haratzion in order to sensitize us to Asher Yatzar in a different light. Some of the questions we raised last week was, number one, Asher Yatzar, on the one hand, is a bracha that I recite every time I go to the bathroom. It's a bracha shevach, hodat Hashem. On the other hand, it's part of the Seder HaTfilah. If you recall, we saw the Rama's opinion that I even recite Asher Yatzar in the morning, even if I didn't relieve myself in the bathroom. So we raised that question. Although the Gemara seems to put Asher Yatzar prior to the Berchos HaShachar, the Rambam very clearly places the bracha in the middle of the Berachos HaShachar, right after Zokef Kifufim, before Ozer Yisrael B'Gvura, as if to say, I'm going to say those brachos as the Gemara said, and the Shulchan Aruch believed it should be this way. This is not our practice to say the various brachos when I would perform different activities in the morning. We mentioned several of them. I probably left out a few. Pokeach, every time I open my eyes, Malbish, I get dressed. Ozer Yisrael B'Gvura, I put on my belt. Oter Yisrael B'Safar, I put on my head covering. Hamarish Shadame and I wash my face. So, all right, Batir Asurim, I sit up in bed with my legs straight. Zokef Kufufim, I actually stand up. This is when people recited those brachos. So it makes sense that if I get up, I say Zokef Kufufim, that means I stood up. I went to the bathroom. And then I tighten my pants. So then I say Ozer Yisrael B'Gvura. That's the order the Rambam has. So it seems there's something about the Seder Hayom that Asher Yatzar belongs in the Seder Hayom. We raised that issue as well. And we came to the conclusion that Asher Yatzar has a different purpose than just thanking Hashem, which is obviously very important for the fact that the body functions on a regular basis. But Asher Yatzar means that we wake up in the morning and I have a certain mission. The chachma of man, Asher Yatzar es ha'adam v'chachma. Chachma can be understood that God created man. There was chachma that God had when He created man. The fact that we can exist, right, is miraculous. That the air stays in and it doesn't come out. And kavim, kavim, chalulim, chalulim. But man also has chachma. And I have my own mission. Kisei kivodecha, that we mentioned the Beis HaMikdash Shel Mala and Beis HaMikdash Shel Mata. I'm like a Kohen, we mentioned on the Tilas Yadayim, and that's what we understood last time. So I read to you an excerpt of this article, just so that we can look at Asher Yatzar in a different light, which is certainly very appropriate for Rosh Chodesh as well. So what is Asher Yatzar really about, he says? It seems clear to me that it expresses our recognition of the inherent precariousness of life and our acknowledgement that God's intervening and ever-present hand is what keeps the whole mechanism working. In other words, there are two possible models for creating something. One is to make your creation perfect so it never breaks down and never needs servicing or repair. The other is to realize that for whatever reason things may go wrong, but to provide a repair service where your creation can be fixed. The first model would have been, at first glance, the better way for God to have created the world, to have made it so perfect that it would run in a perpetual motion. In fact, this is the way that the ancient world, and at times Chazal as well, viewed the heavenly sphere, the revolutions of the sun, moon, and stars. Asher Yatzar presents a third model, at least as concerns life. Life is not a stable condition able to run on its own. It is inherently precarious. Its very mode of operation is the source of its instability. Life is by definition living on the edge. What makes this possible is that God is Rofei Chol Basar, or better yet, Rofei Choli Chol Basar. He heals continuously the frailties of all flesh, the dynamic instability that we call life. Life is inherently different from other natural objects. Its existence is not static, but consists of a dynamic balance of forces of openings and closings, which are dependent on the healing power of God. God's preventative medicine is not about providing vitamins, but about maintaining a continuous stream of life, of balance, of change, and of renewal. This, I think he says, is the meaning of the word bichachmah. God made the whole world with wisdom, but he made man with wisdom in a different sense. He created him with orifices and voids, and even if one opens or closes at the wrong time, life would be extinguished. This is not a failure, but in fact the height of wisdom. Obviously, we would be upset if we bought a watch that came with a trained operator who was constantly needed to keep the hands moving at the right tempo. But that is what you get when you acquire life. In fact, that's the very meaning of life. The operator is God. Because of this, if you recall, one of the other questions we asked was, Ein chosin mishtayim. We don't conclude a bracha with two statements. We raise the question how on Tisha, but we can even conclude a bracha with Menachem Tzion Ubonei Yerushalayim. We don't have two themes at the end of a bracha, only one. So how could it be Rofei Chol Basar Umafli Lasos? Which one is it? Either he does wondrous things, Mafli Lasos, or Rofei Chol Basar, he heals people. So which one is it? Because of this, he says, we may use the double formulation of Rofei Chol Basar Mafli Lasot. When juxtaposed with Rofei Chol Basar Mafli Lasot, does not mean who created everything perfectly without need for correction, but the opposite, who wondrously made man as a delicately balanced dynamic process which requires the constant presence of God's finger to keep it running smoothly. Human well-being is a permanent state of healing infirmity. Asher Yatzar, therefore, has two losa. One is when a person has gone to the bathroom and become aware of how imperfect his body is, from the usual point of view of a machine, how the process of feeding life produces the poisons of life, must be avoided. That's when I go to the bathroom in the middle of the day. But when I get up in the morning, the second locus is upon awakening, like all Birkot HaShachar, when experiencing the stirrings of life anew, the self-awareness of the precariousness of life, and its total and continual dependence on the intervention of God. So Asher Yatzar in the morning, besides the fact that I am a Kohen, as my Al-Mitilas Yadai, I'm lifting up of the hands, signifies. The fact that I'm here to serve Hashem with a special mission as a Jew, and that should be my focus, I realize also, Mechadesh b'tuvo b'chol yom tamim ma'aseh v'reishis. No different than the way we view the celestial bodies, where every morning it's as if God once again begins ma'aseh v'reishis. It's the same thing is true of our body. It's constant, that Hashem is the operator of our body. And that is, it's something that's somewhat frightening on the one hand. But what it does is it allows us to realize, to recognize our dependence on Hashem in every moment. And to appreciate when things go right, because they can so easily go wrong. Understanding that we need an operator constantly makes us realize that it's Hashem who's helping making things happen. If Hashem would create us in a way where everything is supposed to run perfectly, so then we complain, we don't appreciate when it's perfect, we just complain when it's broken. But when we realize it's Hashem's constant involvement, His constant intervention, that allows it to operate, so then instead of getting upset when things don't go right. We appreciate when things are going right, because that itself is a miracle. That's Rofechol Basar Umafli La'asov. The fact that Hashem is constantly healing, so to speak, at any given moment. We say that as well, right? The idea that we have to be in our mission too. I don't think this is, that this has to be a completely different approach than what we spoke of. And that is, if we try to combine the two ideas, the idea that Hashem is the operator, that Hashem is the one who's running the show, that we're completely dependent on Him. On the one hand, the fact that there's renewal every moment in our physical lives. So the same thing has to be true when we navigate the spiritual realm. That we have to be constantly renewing ourselves spiritually. That we have to be, it's not just that we're reactive to things that happen in our lives. That now I realize, oh, this is going wrong. I guess I have to start saying Tehillim. I guess now it's time for me, God forbid someone's sick. So now I have to go to the doctor, right? Because it should have been perfect. Now it's not, I go to the doctor. It should have been perfect. Now it's not, now I start, I take upon myself something new. No, that has to be my mission all the time. I'm always taking upon myself something new because Hashem is constantly allowing the body to renew itself. That's the way I begin the day with Asher Yatzar. It puts the life of a Jew in a completely different realm. So I say on the Tehillah Sadaim, I raise my hands, that I'm here to serve you. I'm focused on the mission of serving Hashem, and nothing can distract me from that mission. You may recall Mivtza Moked, Operation Focus, was the name of the operation in the Six-Day War on June the 5th, 7:45 a.m., when the Israeli Air Force flew under the radar to Egypt and destroyed all of their runways. It was called Mivtza Moked, Operation Focus. And if you can watch some of the interviews or read some of the articles of the pilots who flew, and they described the fact that they were holding on to the controls like this, and you can hear them tell, they said, you look this way or that way, you're dead. You're finished. You hit the water and it's over. Completely focused, not allowing anything to distract me from the mission at hand. That's the way we're supposed to look at serving Hashem. As difficult as things may be that are thrown our way, if I wake up in the morning and I realize, Modani lefanecha, al mitilas yadayim, asher yatzar, and we'll begin Elokai neshama, that nothing is going to distract me from this mission. That's asher yatzar. Operation Moked, Operation Focus. And that's what it means, that Hashem is constantly working on us to allow us to live physically. I have to constantly work on myself spiritually. And it shouldn't be reactive, but it's proactive. That's Asher Yatzar. Elokai, let's take a look at the source sheet. The Gemara in Maseches Brachos says as follows. Source number one. Ki mitar. When a person wakes up in the morning, Omeri says, Elokai, Nishama Shenasata bi Tahara. You'll see there are some variations, not exactly what we say, but it's pretty much the same. Atayi Tzar Tabi, so the Nishama that you placed in me is pure. Atayi Tzar Ta, right? We add Atavarasa. The difference between bara usually is yesh me'ayin, right, where to create something from nothing. Ata yitzata, to form something which is already in existence. Ata nefachta, you blew it into me. No difference than the language in the Chumash. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. This is Dr. Schroeder's famous approach to answer all of the questions about how I can find fossils that are 30 million years old. And that is that no doubt man may have existed in some form many million years ago, but man with the neshama, with the ability to connect to God, is only 6,000 years old. Hayom Haras Olam on Rosh Hashanah, that's the day that man was created. That's not the day the world was created. It's the birthday of Adam HaRishon. Which Adam HaRishon? Adam HaRishon, the Adam Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim, that God blew into him in a Neshama, a piece of God not just a physical being like an animal or a human with some intellectual ability, but not only intellectual ability, but the ability to connect to God. As a spiritual being, that man is only 6,000 years old. That man is only 5,777 years old. In fact, one of the most beautiful ideas that I said too many times so I can never speak about in Rosh Hashanah, for a drasha. So, and if I do, you'll say, you know, you don't remember it. Rav Huttner writes in Pachad Yitzchak, where he claims that the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, which is Hayom Haras Olam, the day that man was created, is representative of Aipach Ba'atav Nishmas Chayim. That's the blowing of the shofar. It's not just the listening of the shofar. It's the act of blowing the shofar reminds us, Vayipach Ba'apav Nishma. That's the day, and that is something that obligates us. When I hear that, that's a charge that says you are man, you are a human with spiritual capabilities. So that's a charge to all of us on Rosh Hashanah at the time of Yom Noraim. When I blow the shofar, and I realize the blowing itself, besides the sound, the blowing itself means I blew into a neshama. This neshama nefachta bi, I blew it into you. So we can't say I'm just a human being. I have needs, I have desires, I can't, I have a yetzer. You have a yetzer, but you have a piece of me in you. Neshama shenasata bi. It's Rosh Hashanah. It puts us in a completely different, gives us a completely different perspective. So that's what you blew into me. Va'atamish shamra bikirbi, it says. And you have, right, it's something that you protect within me. It's within me, it's not going to leave, right? Throughout my life, the neshama's not leaving. Va'ta'asid l'tulami meni. But when life is over, you're going to take it from me. U'lahachazira bilasilavo. But it's going to come back. In the future, we believe in the concept of resurrection, so it's going to return. That's a period, or that's at least a semicolon. And then you say a new thing. Kol zman shanashama bekirbi, the entire time my soul is within me, mode ani lefanecha Hashem elokai velokai avosai. So I thank Hashem for the soul, I thank Hashem for the ability to not only be a human being, but a spiritual being. Ribon kol ha'olamim, master of all of the worlds. Adon kol ha'neshamos, he's the master of all of the neshamos. He's the one who's in charge of placing neshamos in people. Baruch atah Hashem, hamachazir neshamos lifgarim meisim. Right? We say that God returns the neshamos to what's a pigarim, is a carcass, is a corpse. That God will in the future return the neshama to the human being. That's the end of the bracha. So, a question that we all should have on this bracha is that I understand very well why we're speaking about a neshama. I begin the day. It fits in perfectly. I say Netilas Yadayim because I'm here to serve Hashem. I wash my hands like a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. I say Asher Yatzar because I realize that I'm dependent on Hashem. I realize that I serve Him. Kisei Kevodecha. I'm like a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. The same thing. And I have the ability to do so because He gave me a neshama. That's why I have to connect to you somehow. Why am I speaking about Tchiyas HaMeisim? Why am I speaking about the fact that you're going to return the neshama to Pegarim Meisim? Tchiyas HaMeisim, that's something in the future. That doesn't seem to be, and I wake up in the morning, that's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about, you know, one day I'll be dead and then hopefully I'll come back to life. That right, but that's I'm not sure if that puts us in the mood necessarily to begin the day. It's somewhat depressing. So we're going to address that at some point, but I think that we have to be aware that there's something very significant about that. What I will add to that question by skipping a little bit, and I want you to turn over the page to source 6. Lest we think that this connection between Elokai Neshama, this bracha, and resurrection, and Tchiyas HaMeisim, lest we think this is something of lesser significance. So take a look at a halacha, an actual practical ramification of this concept. Source 6 is the Shaarei Tshuva. He's a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, and he quotes the Pri Chadash, who's also a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. Vayin b'Pri Chadash, Sima Nunches, Shemi Shehis Palel Kodem Sha'ama Brichas HaShachar. You know what happens? You come late to Shul, and oh my gosh, they're up to Baruch Hu, you know, I forgot it. And then you finish, I didn't say Brichas HaShachar. I didn't say, what happened to Brichas? I didn't say anything, right? If I said Modani, ran to Shul, caught up. I know I have to dive. I will say, Shema, Shmoresse, you're leaning there. I don't say Brichas HaShachar. Is it too late? I mean, I can thank Hashem for Pokeach Ibrim. There's no reason why I can't do that. I could probably do it, you know, the minig is to do once a day. And if I said it twice a day, would I call that a Bracha Levatola? Probably not. You shouldn't do it. But it's not it wouldn't be the end of the world if you said it twice, Pokeach Ibrim. It sounds like probably a Bracha Mei all day. Right? We don't do that, but I wouldn't call that a bona fide Bracha Levatola. Okay, so now I want to go back and say Brichas HaShachar. Yachol levaruch hamachar tefillah. You can say them all. You didn't say Brichas HaTorah, say Brichas HaTorah. You didn't say, hey, hapokechi, elu shelo asani yavet, shasani kutsono, whatever it is. Chutz mi Brichas Elokai Neshama. Too late. Why? Shekvar yatza bi Brichas Mechaye HaMeisim. You daven Shmon Esrei already? It's too late. You already said that bracha. Can you imagine that somehow that theme of Tchiyas HaMeisim is almost the primary theme of that bracha? Mechaye HaMeisim, that's so much so that if I already daven Shmona Esrei, I can't say that bracha anymore. I forfeited the opportunity to say it. Ve'azil u'taymeh. B'siman Memvav. He follows his opinion in Siman Memvav. She'kosav dimashman b'Yushalmi. The Yushalmi implies Shem Amar Mechaye Mason Bimakom Elokai Neshama Yatza. He bases that on a comment of the Yerushalmi, which says that if in the morning, I wake up in the morning, and I say, you know, I don't know, I Asher Yatzar, you know, would follow, Atal Gibor, Lam Hashem, Mechal Kachay Mechesed, Bracha Hashem, Mechaye Mason. How'd I do that? I don't know why I would do that, but let's say I did that. So Yerushalmi says, that's okay. You fulfilled your obligation of Elokai Neshama. And the Shaarei Tshuva says, I find that very strange, right? I would have to research this somewhat. Shenira, because it seems to me, the bracha zu nitakna al hahove. This bracha was instituted for what's happening now, for the present. Dahainu shehechzir haneshama achar hashena. That Hashem returned the Shema after a person slept. So I don't deny the fact that Chazal view sleeping as a taste of death. You may know that we say death is, sleep is 1/60th of death, whatever that means. That's in the future. And he says, and you think there's a proof from the Yerushalmi? Not true. What the Yerushalmi meant was, if I said Mechaye HaMeisim, I was thinking Elokai Neshama in the morning, I just woke up, so that's okay. But that doesn't mean that if I daven Shmona Esrei and I said Mechaye HaMeisim, and there I'm thinking the future Mechaye HaMeisim, that would be effective for Elokai Neshama, which is not about the future. That's what the Shaarei Tshuva says. But just that idea itself, and by the way, that's the halacha. If you daven, you don't go back on the Kaddish Shem, it's too late. Just that concept is very difficult. What is it about Tchiyas HaMeisim that's so significant when I wake up in the morning? Okay, so that's point number one. In terms of some of the technicalities which will help us understand Elokai Shema and its purpose, there is a very big question that we have. This is a question that's raised by this very lengthy Tosfos. I will probably not read the entire thing. But the question can be raised about the Hallel that we recited this morning as well. What is the last bracha of Hallel? How does it start? And I want to know what's the first word of that bracha is? Yahalalucha. Right? Yahalalucha Hashem Elokeinu al kol ma'asecha. Ta-ta-ta-ta. Ends Baruchat Hashem Melech Mehulol. So what's the problem with that bracha? So the problem is that brachos, lengthy brachos, as we've established in the first year, lengthy brachos not only end with the baruch, but they start with the baruch. That's what a typical bracha is supposed to look like. Typical bracha, lengthy bracha, like Asher Yatzar. Baruch atah Hashem, lekenu melech ma'asher yatzar, Baruch ata Hashem, rofei chol basar mafli la'asam. That's a long bracha. You're getting married. Baruch ata Hashem, rofei chol basar mafli la'asam. Then we end with the right. So we typically end with the baruch. Okay. So that's the way brachos are structured. So why is it that Yahalucha doesn't need to start with the baruch or Elokeinu Shama? Baruch Ata Hashem Hamachazir Neshama Lifgarim Esin. There's no baruch before. So Tosus addresses this issue. Take a look at this Tosos. Kol HaBrachos Kulon Source Number 3. Kulam poschos bebaruch, vechosmos bebaruch. All brachos begin with the baruch and end with the baruch. Chutz mi birchas aperos, birchas amitzvos, brachos on food, brachos on mitzvos, bracha hasmucha lechaverta. Oh, where the bracha is next to its friend. Ubracha achonish bekriya shma, and the bracha, the last bracha of shma, which is emes v'yatzev or emes v'emuna. V'halach haseder, this is the morning order of the brachos. Birchas asher yatzar, ein asmucha l'netziyas yadayim. It's not, cannot be considered next to Netilas Yadayim, the Netilas Shaycha below Asher Yatzar, because you wash your hands often without saying Asher Yatzar. Baharbe Pa'amim Omer Levada, and you very often say on Netilas Yadayim by itself, or Asher Yatzar by itself. Elokeinu Shama, mai eino posachas bibaruch. Right, why doesn't that start with a baruch? The eino smuch al Asher Yatzar, because it's not necessarily close to Asher Yatzar, why not? So watch what it says, Kigon, im lo b'men hanakavim. Let's say you didn't go to the bathroom. Do you have the taharos? Ein sarach liberchas asher yatzar, but sarach, right? It's not next to asher yatzar. So if Elokai Neshama were next to asher yatzar, now you're thinking, I thought it is, okay? If it's next to Elokai, then I have, it becomes the bracha hasmuch lechaverta. But if it's not, so then, let's say I didn't say asher yatzar, so then what am I going to do? How could it start without a baruch? So we'll address, is it close to Asher Yatzar or is it not in a moment? But at least to deal with, let's assume that it's not, how do we justify that it doesn't begin with the baruch? So he says, V'tzarech lomar, ho'il ve'ein ba elo hoda ba'oma, since all it is a bracha of thanksgiving, ein posachas be'baruch. Period. That's the rule. In fact, source number 2, I'm not going to read it, but it says the same thing about Yahalalucha. All it is Hodah. There's nothing else but words of thanksgiving. Doesn't need to start with a Baruch. So that means that any other time I have a lengthy bracha that does begin with the Baruch and end with the Baruch, there must be more in that bracha than just Hodah. Asher Yatzar is a great example. We've already established so many different themes in Asher Yatzar. When it speaks of it, it's not just thanking Hashem. There are other things that we're saying. We're talking about man, right? We're not only praising Hashem, we're describing man. So it's not just a thanksgiving and that's it. There are many details in the bracha, right? Even the bracha of when you get married. Many details. Brachos that we recite after the Haftarah. Also, some of them lengthy, many details in them. Berach Sheva brachos. So it's not just praise. We speak about the Chasen and Kala. We give them a blessing. It's not just praising Hashem. It's a bakasha. Odi shama bare Yehuda v'chusisha. That's a request. That's a request from Hashem that, please God, we follow Yirmiyahu's word should come true. So when I have just Hoda Yahalalucha, Elokeinu Shama, I don't need a baruch. Okay. So if that's the case, then I don't have a problem with following what the Ramah says, which is generally the Ashkenazi practice, which you will see in source number 4. V'nahagu l'sader birchas ha-Torah miyad achar birchas Asher Yatzar ve'ein l'shanos. What do you see? After Asher Yatzar, birchas ha-Torah. So how many people use a sitter that have, let's see, survey says, how many people use a sitter that has Birchas HaTorah immediately after Asher Yatzar and Elokeinu Shama at the end?
No.
Ooh, okay. So it happens to be that if I would have asked this question 50 years ago, so probably over 90% of you would have raised your hand. But we've gotten frummer today. So we think we know more. And then we realize that really we don't know more. Just, we want to make changes. So So the truth is, you look at the older Siddurim, and most of the older Siddurim that we use, the Siddur Shiloh, whatever we grew up with, had Elokai Neshama at the end, right before Berachas HaShachar. Some of the newer Siddurim are not following this Rama, and will follow the minhag of the Gra in source number 5, where he says, V'sidur Elokai Neshama achar Berachas HaShayatzar miyad. V'kein kosfu kol haposkim, he says, v'ayein tosos brachos nemvav divar hamaschil kol. We just read that Tosus. Now, Tosus doesn't say it explicitly, but it's implied that Tosus believes Elokai Neshama should follow. Because what Tosus says was, well, you know, you're not necessarily going to be saying Asher Yatzar before Elokai Neshama. Maybe I may not be saying Elokai Neshama with Asher Yatzar. Let's say I woke up in the morning and I didn't go to the bathroom. That's what Tosus says. So what does that imply? Let's say I did wake up in the morning and I did go to the bathroom. Then I would be saying, there would be an Asher Yatzar to say prior to Elokai Neshama. So the Gra seems to learn from Tosos that is preferable. The question is there something more than just bracha hasmucha l'chaverta that would somehow, right, to instruct us to follow the meaning of the Gra? Because the Rama is following a comment of Tosos. When I have a bracha of hoda'ah, I can say the bracha by itself. Now you could say, oh, Yahalulucha also is not a problem. It's connected to the first brach of Hallel, even though there's brachas in between. And Yishtabach is okay, this is all discussed in Tosafos, because Yishtabach may be also a lengthy bracha which ends with a Baruch, right? But it doesn't start with a Baruch. That's okay. It's connected all the way to Baruch Shamar. You don't want to say that, I'll tell you why. Because if you do say that, that means when you speak in the middle of Sukkot Dezimra, you're speaking in the middle of a bracha. That would be like saying, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, how are you? You look so nice today. Shakol ne'abed baro, and drink something. So that happens to be the way we paskin. So that's why I strongly recommend not to speak in the middle of Sukkot Dezimra. But that's really what it is. They're connected. In fact, Emes V'yatziv is also a bracha. Enes Ve'emunah is also a bracha. Where does it end? Baruch Atah Hashem, Ga'al Yisrael. Where does it start? How can you start a bracha without a long bracha, without Baruch? So the answer is, Baruch Atah Hashem, HaBorcher Ba'amo Yisrael Be'ahava. Well, what about that one? That didn't start with, that started with Ava Rabba. Oh, that's okay. That's connected to Yotzer HaMa'oros, which thankfully begins with Yotzer HaVarei. In fact, all of the Berachos of Shmona Esrei, I mentioned this one of the other weeks, are all Berachos HaSmucha L'Chavrata. Every one of them. Except at the beginning, right? They start the Berachos HaShem, right? Magin Avraham, that's that first Bracha. And then, Atah Gibor, ends with the Chaim Esim, Atah Kadosh, all are lengthy brachos, which are brachos hasmucha l'chaverta. These brachos are real bakashos. Then you need bracha hasmucha l'chaverta. With a bracha like Yehalalucha, or a bracha like Elokai Neshama, there's justification for having the bracha after Berachos HaTorah, after Yivarech Hashem Shmerecha, with no Baruch before, because it's Hoda'ah, it's a bracha merely of thanksgiving. There are no other themes that are in that bracha. That's the halacha. Why would I follow the meaning of the Gra? That happens to be reminding the Siddur that I grew up with. I shouldn't say grew up with, but it was bought for us. We spent summers in Israel, so then I was using the Rinat Yisrael. Did I know I'd become the rabbi of Rinat Yisrael? I used that Siddur. Who knew, right? I always say that, you know, the different things. My parents bought me the Rinat Yisrael Siddur, and here I am in Rinat Yisrael. And my parents called me Ezra Yosef. Who knew that I would be helping Yosef Adler or Ezra Yosef, you know, in my life? So, prophetic that they were. So here I am, right? I didn't really have a choice. So how is it? Why is it that I would necessarily follow the minhag of the Gra? Okay. One other thing for us to take a look at is as follows. Let's take a look at source number 7. So what the Rama does for us, this is a quote of the Aruch HaShulchan, and he's going to quote the Rama. And it's going to put our bracha into perspective, and it becomes so apparent to us why we would opt, although even the Rama says doesn't agree with this, but why we would opt for the meaning of the Gra. Rabbeinu HaRama Piresh Umafli La'asos. We had last week several interpretations of what that phrase meant. We suggested one. And he says, what's so wondrous about what God does? The Masha Shomer Ruach Adam Bikirbo. The fact that the Ruach of a person remains inside. Now, one of those explanations was the fact that we have things that open my mouth, my ears, my nose, and somehow the air stays in. Now, as with the history of a spontaneous pneumothorax, where the air actually came out from the lung into the chest cavity, so I can appreciate this even more. Things like that do happen with stab wounds and gunshot. No, that's not what I had. Stab wounds or gunshot wounds, those things happen. But it's miraculous that on a regular basis we can have, there are parts of the body open to the outside world, and the air that we need somehow miraculously remains within our body. That's one. But the Rama says it's something else. Look at this. Shekosher davar ruchni shehu hanefesh. This is the miracle. That we are a physical body, and God literally ties, bonds the neshama, bidavar gashmi shehu aguf. Somehow we have this symbiotic relationship. What we would call, in this case, mutualism. Right? The fact that one feeds off the other. One, right, needs the other to exist. V'hakol hu al yidei shu rofecho basar. Only because Hashem heals us and allows us to live. Now, we can't live as God wants us to live, as a human being, as a spiritual being, without a neshama. So we need that neshama to keep the physical body alive in order for us to have any value in this world. On the other hand, if we don't keep the physical body alive, so the neshama is going to depart. The neshama, as great as it is, will not remain within the body if the physical body does not exist. If the physical body is not well. Ushmartem ma'od l'nafshotechem. We always use the word nefesh interchangeably with the spirit, with the soul, and with the body. Ki hadam hu hanefesh. But the nefesh is the neshama as well, because they need each other. So that's what he says. V'nishtamo mishtamer b'kirbo. So, right? Akhan lo shono. V'dover zeh shayach gam kein la'inyan? Ki ikra ha'pele. Right? What's the primary wonder? Sha'anashama miskayemes al yidei achilu shesiyah. It's only through, it can only remain and only survive, only be sustained through our eating and drinking. V'ilma le'lo yochal adam yamim rabim. If you don't eat for many days, teitzei mimenu ha'anashama. Why should the neshama care if I eat or drink? Right? Well, who cares? So somehow God created this relationship that the neshama needs us. It needs the physical body. Amnam kein mechol machal umashke yesh gam davar ruchni. Hainu devar Hashem habor'am umekayimam. Yes, indeed, when I eat and drink, I can always look at that as something spiritual. Every time I eat something, it's for survival. I eat so that my neshama remains in me, so I can serve Hashem. Period. That's why we eat. So each one is sustained from one to the other. So if that's what umafli la'asos means, and that's the chachma with which Hashem yatzar es ha'adam, so what appropriately? What is so befitting to follow that bracha? And that is Elokai, Neshama Shenasata B'Torah. That's what it is. So much so that the relationship becomes, there's such a strong bond, and becomes such an intimate relationship that we don't want it to end. We want the body to, because we become so connected to our neshama, connected to Hashem to the point where I want to do another mitzvah. They say about the Vilna Gaon, right? When he just what he would do, right? Just to do, can I do one more mitzvah? We say Yafesh Shah Achas B'Toru Masim Tovim B'Olam Hazeh Mikol Chay Olam Haba. Just to do one mitzvah, one extra chesed in this world, what we could accomplish with that. So it's somewhat depressing, especially when we live a life of meaning. We live a life and we're following this mission, and then we realize we can't do it forever. So then it's somewhat depressing. So when we wake up in the morning, we're so charged. Right, now we changed everything. I'm so ready. I'm right. Mivtzam lokate. I'm so focused. That as we get older, we think it's more difficult to serve you. And sometimes we're in a predicament, we're in a state where we can't serve Hashem anymore. Or we see people, or maybe family members, they're probably past a stage of being chayiv in mitzvos, because they're not aware of their surroundings, even though they may be physically living. So what is it that gives us some sense of consolation? And that is La'asid lavo, that the neshama will return. So knowing that the neshama will return, if we never get into that mood of I'm here, I'm focused on serving Hashem, so then we don't need Elokai neshama. I don't need to mention Hamachazir neshamos nifgarim meisim. I don't need to mention what's going to be la'asid lavo. It's not about the schar that awaits us, because this is right. The neshama's going to come back, and maybe I'll hear to serve Hashem once again. It's not about the reward necessarily. It's about the neshama returning and living a life, even more of a spiritual life. In fact, when I live in this world and I realize how difficult it is to remain focused because of all those distractions, I long for a day when for a time period where there's a utopian society, where I realize that I can serve Hashem without those distractions, with all the people around me, that's all they're going to be doing, because those are the only people who are coming back. In fact, the only people who are going to come back are the people who really say this bracha, where the bracha means something to them. If it means afterlife, I'm not interested in coming back here, I'm not here to serve Hashem, I'm not interested in that kind of a world, the spiritual world, no, I don't want that kind of world. I like the physical world. Okay, you're not coming back then. So that all the people who are saying this bracha and it means something to them are going to come back, and this is what we're looking forward to. So that's how Elokai Neshama fits into the theme of Asher Yatzar, and the fact that Hamachazir Neshamos Lizgarim Yisim, that Tchiyas HaMesim is so much a part of waking up in the morning. So that's something that we have to think about. That could be the connection, which is why when I say the bracha of Mechai HaMesim, I've already fulfilled, I've already discharged that obligation, I've already had that in mind. So that's one thought of Elokai Neshama. I only have a couple of minutes. I want to bring two other ideas for us just to think about. Many people have their way of emunah. What works for me? So some recited Baruch Inafshi this morning, because it's Rosh Chodesh, and you go for a hike, and you see the world that God creates, and it's so beautiful, and you say, Ma Rabba Masech HaHashem, and I say, wow, you know, God is great. That's one way. Some people have such a strong Mesorah in their family. We go, you know, I listened to Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau speak about, he's the 37th or 39th generation rabbi. It's mind-boggling what that means, what Mesorah means. That he can trace back that many generations of Rabbanim in the family. It's absolutely incredible. So that maybe gives people some strength in Emunah and Hashem. What works for me is that the world is full of what I like to call Ke'ein. Kaf, Ayin, Yun, Yud, Nun. Ke'ein means a reflection of. A reflection of our relationship with Hashem can be found in the world. I can't see Him, but I know He's here, and I know what my mission is, because He created things in the world which make it so obvious that He wants us to practice with whatever those situations may be, so that I understand how I'm supposed to relate to Him. So take, for example, parenthood. So Adina and I speak about this all the time. The concept of we love our kids unconditionally. They drive us absolutely crazy. They don't listen to us when we ask them to do something, and yet when they want something, we give it to them anyway. Adina's line, I am Hashem. Right?
Which kids
are comfortable. So because why is there, you know, we could exist without parents, if God could create us, and we could exist, and we could, you know, get older, and we could be on our own, could be independent. The concept of parents, and that especially, you know, human beings more than animals, the fact that we're so dependent on our parents, and the fact that we don't appreciate our parents, and then we ask, can you forgive me? I know I didn't listen to you all of these times. Please forgive me, and we forgive them. So why do we need all that? We need all that because that's our relationship with Hashem. Because when we understand that that's the way we relate to our children, we understand the way Hashem relates to us. And the same way we expect of our children to appreciate that the love that we give them and everything that we do give them. And we don't spare anything. We're willing to give them because we love them so much. That's how Hashem relates to us. He gave us that Kain, that reflection, so we can appreciate that relationship. What does it mean for marriage? So we needed marriage, right? We could have children without marriage. But the relationship of a marriage, where it grows and it develops, and there's nothing I can't tell you. And because we spend more time together and I appreciate, and I learn more about you, I appreciate you more. And it's not just a physical relationship. There's something more spiritual about it. There's meaning to it. That's our relationship with Hashem. That's the marriage. That's Har Sinai. That's the Torah. That's the Ksuba. Why do we need marriage? We need marriage because we need to understand our relationship with Hashem. There are things in the world, and there are others. There are examples Hashem gives us in the world. So when we live them and we experience them, we realize that's why we have that. So I can understand something that I wasn't able to understand without having this experience. And the same thing is true of one of the 13 principles of faith, Tchiyas HaMesim. Tchiyas HaMesim is something we're supposed to believe in. Now, how do you believe in that? So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that has a compelling argument. The Roman emperor brought over one of the Tanoim, I believe, and said, you know, I believe in a lot of what you're talking about, but this concept of resurrection doesn't make any sense to me. So the Gemara says that the daughter of the emperor says, Dad, I can explain it to you. I'll give you a mashal. Imagine you have in the city two potters, two people who manufacture and make earthenware pots. One can make pots from just earth with no moisture, no water, just earth, dry earth, like making a sandcastle with no water. Okay? And the other can make pots with just water and no sand. Which is the bigger miracle? So he said, well, obviously the one who could make it with water without sand. She said, that's your answer. If God is able to create human beings to begin with, the fact that there's birth, the fact, right, that from sperm and an egg you can create a human being, you don't think that if he already has the chomer of a body that has passed away, he can't slap on some skin and some flesh, and muscle and some arteries and veins and put together a human being? It's just what you're used to and what you're not used to. That's what the Gemara says. So I have another answer. And that is this bracha. Why did Hashem create sleep? Why do you need sleep? Think about it. The body needs to rest, the muscles are tired. Okay, so lie down. The fact that I now close my eyes and I'm now completely oblivious to what's going on, there's no reason why Hashem needed to create that concept. There's no reason for that. I want to lie down, so you rest for an hour, rest 2 hours, you know, we do a lot more productive. The fact that I have to get into a sleep, why did it have to be that way? So the answer is to give us a taste of Tchiyas HaMesim. I know it's very difficult for you to understand this concept, but it's critical that you appreciate it and you believe it. So I'm going to give you a Kain. I'm going to give you a reflection of that. You're going to go to sleep every night. You're not going to know what's going on around you. And all of a sudden, 2 hours later, you're going to wake up and you're going to start again. I'm going to do that on a larger scale. That's Tchiyas HaMeisim. That's the relationship between Elokai Neshama, getting up in the morning, and Tchiyas HaMeisim. It allows us, the sleep allows us to believe, to understand, to have at least an appreciation of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Finally, because I have 1 minute, is the Tchiyas HaMeisim that takes place every single day. We mention when we get up in the morning that we have a neshama, and we're here to serve Hashem, and we can serve Him in many ways, and we have to follow His ways. Look at the bracha in Shemona Esrei. Is it all about Tchiyas HaMeisim? Mechal kachayim bechesed, matir asrim, sumeach rofim, rofei cholim, right? And then in the Kayim and solution, and then He's going to resurrect. Because in life, we have so many opportunities serving Hashem by doing Tchiyas HaMeisim on a human scale, like He does. When people are down, I can help pick them up. That's their Tchiyas HaMeisim. When people are sick, I can help heal them. That's their Tchiyas HaMeisim. When people need parnasa, so that's the, right. Then I give them their Tchiyas HaMeisim. So there's an opportunity for us in serving Hashem, not only to daven, not only to learn Torah, but I can follow Hashem's ways and really do a Tchiyas HaMeisim in my own life. And therefore, HaMachazir Neshamos Lefgarim Meisim, it's the neshama in me that allows me to, as which is a piece of God, a chelek alokam imal, that allows me to follow Hashem's way and do all of those things, follow all of those attributes, and I can also be Mechayeh HaMeisim in my life, because that's the theme of Tchiyas HaMeisim, is picking up those who are full and those who need support. Okay, we'll stop here, continue at some point, maybe, I'm not sure when, I'm running to Maariv. Have a very good night. Thank you.